My tongue speaks so they will know, giving voice to the legacy that has come before. Sojourner, Ida, Dorothy, Mary, Ella, Maya Angelou, others left out of history books, many refusing to, denying my humanity, but I stand and demand. From birthing of a civilization to nurturing a nation, we've been right here. I breast the comfort of men and suckling babies. How dare they not see me? Strength, genius, and beauty. I give voice to this beautiful struggle to shine and bring forth the light, staking claim to our birthright and inheritance of this earth, an overflow of compassion and justice. Using my voice to tell the children, telling the stories of Black excellence, Africans, speaking truth to power, if only for 1 hour, they will stop and know that my tongue speaks so they will know that ain't I a woman.
This is Voices of Advocacy Radio with your host, Lakeisha Gray Sewell, showcasing leading activists, community servants, and entrepreneurs. You are now tuned in to truth, community passion, and amplified legacy. Can you hear it? It's Voices of Advocacy Radio.
Welcome to another edition of Voices of Advocacy Radio. This is our very first episode for the new year, although we are 2 months in, but we couldn't have a better guest to kick off the new year and also Black History Month. So this is a real Black episode. I'm so excited to have Miss Iman Fowler for the Harriet Experiment. Welcome to Voices of Advocacy Radio. We are so delighted to have you.
Thank you for having me. It's good to be here. It's a joy to be here. Thank you.
Thank you. And so I said you're for the Harriet Experiment, with it, which is an experiment and an experience. Yes. And I want you to tell our listeners first and foremost what it is that you do and what the Harriet Experiment is.
Sure thing. So the Harriet Experiment is an effort to help our healing through beauty, health, wellness. It's named after Harriet Tubman in that she's known, you know, for her will, her struggle to free people up, you know, to introduce new information to people so that their minds can expand in wise and intelligent, free, liberated, you know, ways. And so it's named after Harriet just for that. Through beauty, which is my trade, my profession, through beauty, I help women to learn how to care for themselves, girls also how to nurture themselves, love themselves, enjoy being a girl, enjoy being feminine, and enjoy being a woman. Before it gets to something where it's not so fun to be a woman, which is can happen. I've noted, you know, not every woman enjoys herself 100% of the time, all the time, every day, every month, every year. So it's very important. I think we as sisters, or we as women, all throughout the world, work using our trade or our expertise, our skills to help lift one another up, to free women, you know, so that their minds can expand in wise, intelligent, and loving ways.
Mm-hmm. So this last round of the Harriet Experiment, this is the third cycle that you've done, and it's taken on sort of a rites of passage, if you will. And it's more also, you talked about women not being very happy or fulfilled with their womanness,
yes.
Right? And for a lot of us, we look at it, as you talked about, being a woman as being work, right? Like we relate our hair care to work. We relate our hygiene as work. We relate our monthly menstrual cycle as being work, right? A burden, right? So I wanna touch on how the work you do changes work to being care, like self-care and self-love. So can you talk a little bit about that?
Amen. Well, let's see. I think the work that I do helps the those gifts or innate responsibilities, you know, because we're giving hair, we're giving beauty, our features, born as women, so we're giving, you know, all of these eggs to manage or, you know, to co-manage. I think the work that I do, I think it's more of my spirit, though. I think my work is really attached to my spirit, in that I've always loved beauty culture. And I never really hated my cycle as a woman. I never really felt awkward being a woman. Or should I say, I never felt so awkward that I didn't want to revel, find joy, revere womanhood. So the work that I do is based off hair, health, and beauty, beauty of sisterhood. The hair component, then I'm a natural hair care professional. So the hair component takes women and girls back to their naturally curly hair before we press it out, before we start to put even borettes on there, all these chemical alterations. So we focus on what does it take to have healthy hair and healthy scalp. So we focus on cleansing the hair properly, conditioning, and detangling, because it seems funny, but a lot of people don't know how to detangle their hair. And that's where a lot of the frustration comes about. And that's where, the frustration that throughout history, girls are like mad at their moms. I don't want to get my hair done. That's where it starts from, the tangles and not knowing how to care for it, not knowing that if you have curly hair, you could be Caucasian, you could be whatever, Afro-American hair, African hair. If you have curly hair, you have to wet your hair in order for it to cooperate with you and your instructions. But a lot of that, you know, isn't taught, you know. And so we also move to the, I have this health segment where we talk about menstruation, body awareness, and feeling comfortable as you're developing. And also, I think what's most important for girls for the girls of HE3, I think what was most important was them having a safe place to talk about these girl-specific issues with someone outside of their home who wouldn't judge them, who was there to, you know, with open arms and all of the medicine bags and the medicine woman to help them to better understand that there are natural things, natural remedies, clay packs, castor oil packs, tonics, teas, eating right, you know, for your menstruation, that there are all of these things to help prevent any discomfort around this blooming into womanhood, you know. So I think my spirit is very much attached to that type of work. I love it. I love it, love it, love it, love it. And the third component is beauty. So we've covered hair, health, and then beauty, which would lead into the beauty of sisterhood, which would lead into accountability, you know, partners, and hopefully lifelong friendships. You know, it's, I feel like the Harriet experiment is still very much in its infancy. It is a project or program that I would love to expand or see, or if it's a gift from God, I would love to continue to participate in this work and passing down these rites, the treatments, the therapy, these concepts to generations thereafter me, so that, again, they don't really have to struggle with feeling, you know, bad about being a girl or bad about what they were given naturally.
And I just want for our listeners to, first of all, I want to say that I was one of those women who, or girls, and even women up until maybe just coming into appreciating and being in touch and in tune with my body. And so I wanted to say two things, is that you said this is just your spirit. I think that it is all of our spirits, but because you do the care, you take the time to actually know yourself and appreciate yourself, that is why you tap into that what's already there in your spirit, and you can do the work that your spirit calls for, that your spirit got you here for. We can get a little deep with that, so I won't go too far into people are like, what are you talking about? But because you have done that all along, you've cleared your space to be in tune and aligned with what your purpose is. And that's, I guess, people are more comfortable with hearing, like, being aligned with your purpose, and you know what your passion is because you have taken the time to really care for yourself, to ask yourself, and to, you know, understand what's going on. Me personally, I can say again that being a girl and a woman, I've never not wanted to be a girl or wanted to be anything other than a girl, but I've also, it's almost like loath, like the idea of my hair, doing my hair. I have had a lot of hair all my life. The idea of taking the time that it takes to wash my hair, to blow dry my hair, is like a chore. You know, the idea of, here it is, this time of the month is coming, and I feel it, and here are the cramps and everything else, and oh God, how can I make that go away? You know, and that's all a part of being a woman. Like, you can't separate any of it, and it doesn't have to be trauma. Because it was trauma for me, like cramping. And I noticed the same thing with my daughter. And that is how you and I have come to know one another, is because my daughter participated in the HE3, the third cycle. And I've seen changes in her. I'm so appreciative that she was able to do it. But what I want to ask you is not just this cycle, but overall, what are some of the things that you, if you could impart? So it's a two-part question. I want to know what you would impart to parents who have not had their daughter in this experience. What are some of the wisdom that you would like to share with them? And then the girls who have been in it, what are some of the things that you've witnessed, the changes in their, whatever it is that you've witnessed, what would you like to share?
Okay. The first question was, what would I impart to parents who haven't had their daughter to participate in HE3?
Can I interrupt just to say that? Okay. Sure. The conversation is about women and girls, but there are some fathers who are very present in their daughter's life. You know, my father purchased my sanitary napkins. He purchased the things that I needed for my hygiene. So this isn't just for women. This is a conversation for dads to understand, too, what their daughters are going through. I just wanted to make that clear because, you know, fathers are probably running away from the listening as soon as we start talking about some of this stuff. But dads need to be aware as well.
Mm-hmm. I feel like it's important to say this. I feel like girls, you know, their thing might not be beauty or hair. And they may play basketball, so they don't care really about, like, when their cycle come, okay, 5 days, I'm out for the count, but I'm right back into, you know. And then sisterhood, you know, it may not, it may not be painted as like this really girly type of bond for everyone, I think it's important for parents to just really be open to the blossoming and development of their children. We're talking about girls, so I'll be girl specific. I think that all girls at some point at least want to be attractive or they want to find, you know, what makes them attractive. They want to find that sweet spot, and they want to, as the body develops, like breast, hips, your, you know, glutes start to grow. I think that for me growing up, I was a tomboy, but I was still into beauty.
Same here.
You know, and for me, so, you know, probably around about 12 or so, 11 or 12, 13 definitely, I was thinking like, okay, what clothes am I going to wear this summer? You know, because I have some new stuff. And it may have been, you know, like my khaki pants, but I wanted to try like a crop top with it just to experiment with my femininity.
Well, you don't want to wear gym shoes all the summer. You want to have some like sandals with your toes out.
Yeah,
you know?
Some wedges.
Right.
Especially sandals with the toes out. Yeah, just you wanted to do something more feminine, or you wanted to find out how attractive you were or could be. I think it's important that we have a space for that. You know, I think it's really key to have a space where girls can blossom and find that they are growing into women, and not try and shelter them where it's wrong for them to want to, you know,
do the natural thing. Appreciating who you are.
Yeah.
And I think also it's so important the work you do, because I think what you just said, creating that safe space, what you did with HE, from my daughter's experience, I know you created a space where she could definitely be herself and learn some things that I don't think she would readily come to me to learn. And I think the safe space you were talking about is also not shying away from it or categorizing it as something sexual, because it's not always that.
It's not always sexual. I think it's just natural. I mean, we're women. Girls are growing into women. And so a lot of, you know, being a woman is being attractive or being soft or, you know, it's just the essence of being a woman. So I think it's very important for parents to have a space where their daughters can maybe go shopping with them, see what they like. You can still guide them, you know. Yeah, and it's like a rite of passage for a parent too, because when we have children, they have parents. Like when we birth children, they birth parents. And no one child is ever the same. So it's always that exchange of my child is learning from me and I'm learning through her learning. You know, or my son is learning from me, I'm learning from his learning. And that learning makes me a whole different person. It transforms me.
Several times.
Right. It's never, ever over.
Right.
You know, and a lot of our healing as parents, comes through our children, too. Our childhood stuff comes through seeing our children. So I think it's important to go shopping with them, for girls. Go shopping with them, the underwear and things like that. Do that openly so that they can feel an appropriateness, feel what's appropriate about that. you know, match your underwear. Clean your underwear. Have clean underwear.
Yes.
You know, sit down and beautify yourself. Take your baths. Have you had a bath today? Have you had a bath this week? Right? Because we are into showering. Mm-hmm. Or just taking the washcloth and quickly, you know, going over face to foot. Mm-hmm. And then not even lotioning up or hydrating our skin. But all of that, I think that type of care, I feel like that personal care helps in those times when you're feeling not so good about yourself. Yes. Yes. You know what I mean? It's kind of like if we give our children that space or those, if we have those conversations about body care, or saying like, hey, it's, you know, it's Venus Day, it's Friday, you know, love yourself today, you know, put your feet in this bowl and love yourself today while they're young, you know, then maybe when they grow older, they'll continue, you know, to create different rituals around self-care, so that they don't feel so bad that they need to do something extreme, you know, that would harm or hurt them, you know.
And I know I asked you a two-part question, but I want to stay here for a second because what you just described, we said before that the wanting to be attractive, to find out what makes you attractive, what gives you your sense of
beauty
for yourself. So when we start discussing what makes them attractive, what makes them feel good about themselves, what they think that they're portraying to the outside or presenting to the outside world, that they can stand up proudly with it. We talked about before how parents can, when they start being more self-indulged and have a little bit more of their I guess self-aware, that we start thinking like, oh, you're doing this for a boy. You know, you're doing it for the attention of a boy. But I also want to say that that is a good thing, the self-care that you just talked about, because it makes it so that they don't seek out the approval from somebody else. Like, if you are comfortable and you've come to love looking in the mirror, you've come to love looking at all the parts of your body and come to love what you see, then you're not waiting for somebody else to give
or give you value.
So have you seen that also come out of conversations with the girls who've gone through?
I think so. I think the girls that the girls of HE3, I think that they were introduced to some concepts that they either had not had an opportunity to practice before. So a lot of like the castor oil packs, the clay packs.
Now, what is that for the audience?
Thank you. So a castor oil pack is you get a sheet of wool flannel, you boil water in a stock pot, you take your wool flannel and then you put it in the stock pot in the water. Using tongs, you pull it out of the stock pot and then you immerse the wool flannel into a jar full of castor oil, right? So the wool flannel is absorbing all of the castor oil. And the wool flannel is usually still warm when you lie it over whatever area. In this case, it's your womb. And it's for the sole purpose. It's used for the sole purpose. Well, let me go back. The wool flannel is placed on your womb. And then you wrap around your waistline. Or around your pelvic girdle and then around your back, saran wrap, just to secure it in place. Mm-hmm. And then you lie down and you rest. Mm-hmm. And so the castor oil pack, when used this way, it's used to pull out toxins, lubricate your organs so that things just release easily with ease and everything isn't so cramped up. That practice, I think, was new, you know, to the young ladies being 11, or when they started, they were 10, 12, and 15, which is very young, but also a great time to introduce something like that. So I think that was new to them. I think it clicked, you know. I think there was a cognitive connection. And they definitely, you know, they did the practice, you know. Now, will they use it in the future? Will they behave in a way where it's like, okay, my cycle is here, it's day one, instead of staying out or staying up on the phone or on Facebook, I'm just, instead of, you know, twitting, I'm just going to lay myself down and take care of myself. That's my vision for them. And that's something that I'll continue to water. Definitely. I'm happy that they had an opportunity to practice it. I'm happy that they know of it. I don't know at this time being, because now they're 12, 13, and 16. I don't know at this time if they would do that every month, but I'm confident that they know it, you know, well enough to put it into practice when they need it or to bring it up in a conversation, you know, and maybe that discourse will, you know, bring it back around like, yeah, well, let me master this, you know. Let me give myself some time to master it. That's the vision for the Harriet Experiment, for HE3. It's just to really, again, to introduce concepts like when Harriet, I always think when I do my meditation, my Harriet meditation, I always think, you know, when she was, you know, going around saying, telling people like, yo, you know, if we go north, you know, this is what's going on up north. Not this stuff down here. It's way different, right? It's freedom. It's way different. More experiences, more opportunities, more growth. You know, some people were probably like, yeah, well, you know, I'm comfortable right now. But check with me, you know, but then some people were like, it's a yes for me. It's an automatic yes for me. So I think, you know, my work, again, this work with the Harriet Experiment, it's not going to be a 365-day thing. I think it's just something that needs to be carried on. And it probably isn't just the Harriet Experiment thing, but girls like me, you know what I mean? Like, just as long as we are giving back generation and generation, and like your daughter and the other two young ladies that participated, they'll give, you know, and then that will give us, you know, 100 years of giving, 100 years of healing, and what we've offered hopefully will expand into something like more powerful than we could have ever imagined.
that is the key to us raising black girl magic, like real black girl magic, like Harriet said, free yes. black girls, right? That are willing to snatch somebody up and be like, you gonna be free today, you know? Ain't no going back to, you know, if you with it, then we with it, right? Mm-hmm. And so I wanted to, you were talking, and I wanted to make this point to listeners is that we think of womb and we start thinking about babies and making babies and carrying babies, but our womb is present from the time that we are born and conceived, right? And so I think that it's so, we have all this stuff going on when we get grown. Like we have fibroids and we have endometriosis and we have, you know, cysts on the ovary and ovarian cancer and all this stuff going on with our cervix, and we have infertility and all this other stuff. And just how much of this could we prevent, you know, if our girls were
from day one, because it's like you prepare it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you're prepared
until you're ready to have kids,
or it's too late.
Yes,
mm-hmm. Or it's too late. So, and a lot of people could feel, you know, I really don't want to talk about that with my daughter, but it's so important, because if you don't take care of your center of creativity, you know what I mean? It's like you're connected to it. It's connected to you. It's a live organ, and it should be valued from day one. It's never too, I think, early just to start talking about womb care. Having a Venus day, again, that's like a very soft and gentle way to have or start having that type of dialogue with your child.
When you say Venus day, are you speaking more like self-care day?
A love day, which is typically on Friday. Yes, typically Venus. TGIV, yes.
Which could be like on your Venus day, this is the day you schedule your spa, this is the day you go and you do your whatever self-care you do.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you cook for yourself.
Yes.
You cook for your family.
Yes.
You love on yourself and the people around you who are extensions of you. I think that's a very good, soft and gentle way just to build up dialogue around self-care, around family care,
rituals.
Every Friday, Venus Day, how are you loving yourself today? Your bath, draw your daughter a bath with, cut her up some oranges, some limes, or if you don't want to spend, I know it could be expensive. People like, cut up some lemons and limes just for a bath. Okay, so if you're not into that, if you don't want to, spend your money in that way, if you juice limes and lemons, or if you have just had an orange, set the peelings over to the side, you know what I mean? And then have your daughter scrub her skin, you know, with the oranges and limes. That opens her mind up, you know, to a different way.
I feel open just such a powerful practice, and the fact that we don't
mm-hmm.
own that practice, the fact that it is something where you would make a choice as leftovers, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Leftover rhymes. Like,
yeah.
The fact that it's not a part of our priority, just like it is, are we eating enough fruits and vegetables?
Yeah.
Are we experiencing enough nature on our skin?
Mm-hmm.
Period.
Yeah.
And you talked about the womb, and I wanted to go back to that because we did talk about, you know, getting it prepared and having it healthy for later on in life, you know, so you don't have the fibroids and stuff like that. But you touched on another word where, I mean, we can think about the womb being the center of life, where we give life and where we nurture life before we birth it to, the world. But beyond that, like your imagination, you know, creativity, that comes from having a healthy. So, yeah. So talk about that, too.
I think, I think your womb, like your free flow, your movement, your water, your voice. A lot of times, if we aren't really comfortable, I think, and I'm going back to my girl self now, like if you're not really comfortable with your womb, you might have an issue with confidence or esteem. And you may do something extreme, like violate that, like violate your womb. You may not speak up for yourself. You may give it away. You might give yourself away just to feel value or to feel some type of sensation. You may, when I say give it away, you may participate in sexual activities prematurely. I think it's very important to that we talk about, that we are having conversation about the womb, that, you know, we're learning about the womb, its dance, its cycle, its purpose, its function before we use it. I'm always saying to my child, read the instructions first. You know, because it's kind of like, if you notice, when children get toys, like on Christmas, it's like, rip! And it's just laying some shift that's laying around your house. You don't even know the function. You don't even know all of the things that it can do.
You've broken it. Like, it's not even functional anymore because you've misused it and just, yeah.
So you gotta tape it up. Battery pack falling off. No batteries in years.
The sound no longer.
You know?
Yes.
So I think, and that's a perfect analogy. I think it's very, very, very just smart to have these discussions, dialogue, and to know yourself, you know, understand the function. That's the type of advice that I would give my child or someone, some child very close and dear to me. Like, just really get to know yourself and your function, how you might be affected or how you might influence, you know, also too, you know, with these parts, and not just that organ, your womb, or, you know, your scrotum, the male principle. That's not the only organ that can give you an orgasm. An orgasm is any time any organ is contracting and expanding really fast. Your lungs do that. We do that when we... Your heart has an orgasm. Your lungs, your digestive system, all of these things are rhythmically working. They have cycles of their own. But I think because sexuality or sensuality or what other term can I use here? Our private parts. I think because sexuality, I like that word. That's a stronger word. I'll use that for this example. I think because sexuality is so taboo, it's almost like the girls or the boys learn about their sexuality through someone else because nobody's talking about it. So the girls and boys, if not strong, if they don't come from a household that's willing to openly discuss cycles, sensuality, loving, you know, that sort of thing, then they learn quickly from what's on television, or they learn quickly from their peers what sexuality means, and it's not their own, you know, interpretation. It's just something to grab onto because no one else is talking about it.
And to accept those things without question, yeah, without taking a critical lens to it.
That's something that, again, they should, I mean, if we're having conversation about organs, anatomy, systems, and cells, and we're having those conversations, then when they're presented with that, even if it's on television, yes, like one of actually your daughter said, yeah, you may crave or you may have a sensation, but mentally you know what it is. Mentally you can identify what's happening inside of me. Oh, well, I'm human, and sometimes I might feel a sensation, but I don't need to respond or act on it. I need to make sure I'm ready. I need to understand how it's affecting me, how I might be an influence on it.
I'm teasing because this is what I've instilled in her, but I think, again, being able to explore and experiment with her, you know, with her body, with her emotions, with everything that's going on, preparing herself and having an outlet to express herself without feeling like, oh my God, is mommy gonna think I want to have sex because I asked this question? The space that Harry HE3 had for her, I was just cheesing because I'm so happy to hear her say that. Yes, you know, but we know that every girl is not in HE3. We know that every parent, mother, loved one, caregiver is not comfortable with half the stuff we talked about here today. It's probably caused some tensing up or some, you know. So tell me, you mentioned the castor oil. That's something that I think that's so... where people may not be used to it, but that's so back down home, so natural to us that I know our great grandmothers were doing that, you know, when there wasn't no such thing as Tylenol or Advil, like that's what they were doing. So what can you share? You mentioned some tools that you provide the girls for their self-awareness, for their self-care, for their beauty practices, for their ideal of beauty, for their confidence, for healing, all that. Oh, yes. So in the tools, I also want you to talk about, you introduced them to goddesses. So if you can just share that, why you did that, who were some of the goddesses, and then the tools, and then we won't be here much longer, but I do want you to hit on those two, the goddesses and why that was a part of the experiment, and then the tools that you think every girl should have, books or whatever else.
Okay, so you want me to answer? You want me to talk about tools first or goddesses?
I think
first?
Tools first, and we can leave off on goddesses. That's the power right there.
All right, cool. All right, the tools. So our very first gateway was hair. So the girls that participated in the Harriet Experiment Cycle 3, they were all given packets. And it came with like a shoebox or memory box. And inside of each memory box was something, a hair brand or product that was unique for each girl and her hair type, density and texture. So I gave out Talia Wajid Black Earth, which is a very general black hair care line. I gave Shea Moisture. I gave Coco Curly, which is a like a mom and pop's brand that's just starting out but growing fast, rather quickly. We gave the girls, all three girls had inside of their memory box a journal so that they could...
I love that. Like the journals were personalized with their names, the things that they liked, their interests. It was very personalized.
Very personalized. And it was just really important. I thought that they could had a space to document their personal thoughts, what they were going through with the hair, what they were going through with mom or dad or peers at home, what they were going through with Miss Iman. You know, they may have felt like, I don't want to do this journal work tonight, you know, but, you know, and I would assign them work, like write in your journal your procedure for doing your hair. Start from beginning to end. Let me know the purpose of cleansing your hair, the purpose of conditioning, detangling, and styling. The very first segment being here, they all got tools, duckbill clips, combs. think that's all. And they had an oath. Like, each of them had, like, individual work. After our consultation, we did an initial consultation for hair where each girl had to come and sit down and talk about her likes, dislikes, what type of style she likes, what types she doesn't really fancy, her hair type, what she wanted to try so we could create like a profile for the whole year or the whole journey. And so they had work that I had given them, assigned to them for their unique cases. Maybe it was don't use gel on your hair. Don't straighten your hair with a pressing comb or ceramic iron for 9 months. And then to just love your hair, to love your journey, your lock journey was another one. One of the young ladies had locks. Moving into the health segment, all of the girls came together and they made like these really cool medicine clutches. And so to culminate our segment on health, they made medicine clutches. Building up to that culmination, they made tonic. They made a catnip tonic. Catnip is an herb that's used to calm, as a nervine, so it calms your nerves. So when your body is tensing up or cramping, they would be able to take this drop of catnip underneath their tongue, and it should ease the cramps. So they learned how to do herbal extractions or herbal tinctures, and then they would put their tincture into their medicine clutch.
And I have to just interject here that this is scientific, right? I mean, we don't say science, but this is science, the fact that they even know the word tincture, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And
yeah.
I love this because it's so, like, all-encompassing. Like, you are doing, this is one of the facets of my program, Girls Like Me, is to connect them with their wellness to the overarching, like, industries and different realms of technology. You know, science is a part of self-care.
Yeah.
So I just needed to say that because I get excited about that. Like, that's science.
Amen. So. Yeah. And you'll see, like, when the documented portion, when the documentary, when I upload the documentary, their journey documented, when I upload their documented journey to YouTube, you'll get to see these three young ladies, ages at that time 10, 12, and 15, working with an herbalist, making tinctures, extracting the essence from chamomile, however you choose to pronounce it, you can do it both ways. Catnip, skull cap, red raspberry leaf tea, ginger root, uva ursi. You'll see them actually making their own tea. Three little girls, you know, working together to better understand how to take care of themselves. So those are some of the tools. Also, they got to talk about their preferences, maxi pads or tampons, what they would carry in their medicine clutch, things, you know, that they would just need for around that time of the month, books. I think these are gems that every little girl should have. I think the Sacred Woman book should always be in the home. It's a great reference tool. It's good for, again, building, helping to have a little girl or a young adult or woman build a relationship with her womb. Another book that I would suggest would be Wise Woman, which is like a reference book Suzanne Weed, I think, is the author of that book. It's a reference book for herbs, their different uses, all the way from, again, just toning your womb, whether it's just you're not active, you're not looking to give birth, but you just want to have a strong reproductive system. You don't want cramps. You want a healthy reproductive system. No, cramps, a lot of clotting, being overly tired. Also, too, submitting to cravings, the submission to cravings around that time of the month. In that book, Wise Woman, I think it's Wise Woman in Folkways. But Suzanne Weed is definitely the author. In that book, it gives you the different herbs to help you tone your uterus. Things you can do if you're having really bad cramps or a tough menstruation period. And then it gives you what you should do if you are looking to reproduce and you need breast milk or you need, you know, just to be able to carry the baby.
So nobody needs to get nervous because we know our girls are not getting ready to do any of those things. We're not encouraging that, but yeah.
And for moms, you know, just it's a good book for moms and dads to have on file. Just so that, again, you can kind of like bring up these conversations around self-care.
So we're wrapping up. We're almost out of time. So you can't go through each and every one, but I would like for you to share why you introduced the goddesses that you did and who they were. And I know we can't expound on each one. So what we'll do is tell the listeners to Google these things for themselves or read books on it, but just to let them know who they were and why you felt the need to introduce it to the girls.
Okay. I paired each girl up with a goddess. I chose goddess Osset because that's like spiritual. It is the spirit of the mother, the spirit of the lover, self-care, and it's going back into like history, ancestry, spiritual realm, spiritual work, waking up early in the morning, getting up, doing what the next right thing is, doing what the next best thing is for yourself. So that was the spiritual medicine woman. The elder medicine woman was Queen Afua, the author of Sacred Woman. And I chose her because she is so vigilant. She's so disciplined and so loyal, deeply committed to healing. She is the woman that I think all women just, once you know her, you just look to her and you're just like in awe, like, wow, she is just, her whole life is to, you know, raise up the vibration, to raise the health, to raise the intelligence of people so that they know that their health is their only wealth. And the third medicine woman was a contemporary, Erykah Badu.
Yes.
Erykah Badu is just, you know, she got it going on. She's fun. You know, she's free.
She's a
the mother.
A doula.
A doula, midwife. She practices. She's birthed many babies of her, you know, her friends, her own baby. I was listening to Jay Electronica this morning, who's the father of her youngest daughter, and he was saying how he cut the cord of his daughter and he caught his daughter. So I chose her because she's a great example of the mother being, again, soft, but also strong too, knowledgeable and wise.
Mm-hmm. Wise, and I think everybody looks to Erykah Badu in that sense. If you know of her, if you've ever heard of her, you're drawn to her. There's a certain attraction in terms of just identifying with that motherness, right, with that power. And so I'm glad we left off on the goddesses pieces, because I think that that is a part of Black Girl Magic. Like, we are, the aim is to have them tap into their goddess, their inner goddess, right? And the inner goddess is not something mythical. It is very real. You know, loving yourself. Yes. And actualizing the power you have when you are fully healthy, like when you are fully aligned. And too often, I know I speak for myself, it is a point when we have had our children, when we are fully grown, or at least fully grown in terms of development, in terms of our bodies having developed to their fullest extent, then you start checking now, wow, why am I having this experience with my physical being? Why am I having this illness? Why is this disease here? Am I responding in this way? You know, why, you know, I have to have surgery to remove cysts and tumors and all this other stuff, you know, when if we had known then when we were girls, we would have been able to prepare our bodies. And it wasn't this taboo conversation. You've opened that door. And so I want to say thank you.
Yes, I'm grateful to be a part. I'm grateful to be participating in the work.
Because you are a healing goddess yourself. Mm-hmm. And you are definitely Harriet. You are freeing in so many ways. As a mother who has had my daughter go through it, as a girl advocate and a girl caregiver, and a girl protector, I feel empowered by what I've learned, just watching how you have done what you've done with HE3. And so I say all that to say to the listeners, get into this. Get into Sissy Mind. Get into the Harriet Experiment. It's information online about the history of it and other cycles that have gone through. And later this year, by October, November, you'll be ready to share information. But in that, I just want people to know this is not something that anybody can just roll up into and say, hey, my daughter is here. There's a process, a screening process, because you really do need to be aligned. You need everybody on board. And so I just want to thank you for the work that you do. And it's not work, again, we're talking about the care that you have for our baby girls and for women and sisterhood overall. And so I'm saying to you that I am so appreciative and so full of gratitude for all that you have taught us. And for, we didn't even share that the girls went on a trip out of the state. So they went to Atlanta to a natural hair convention and found themselves. There is so much, Sissy Mind. So how can people get with you, website, whatever information before we get out of here?
Okay, you can definitely go to iamharriet.net. And then you can also email me. You can email me through the site. Or you can email me through my Gmail, Harriet, HARRIETEX, like in Xavier, P as in Peter, @gmail.com.
Because this is the Harriet Experiment, baby. We freeing these babies. We're freeing them so they can live free lives. So we just thank you. Thank you, thank you, thank you. All right, everybody, check out Harriet Experiment.
And before we close all the way out, I have a special treat from you. Sissy Mon is just more than for Harriet Experiment. She is also a poet, lyricist, and MC. Just a multifaceted, multi-talented sister, and I have a special treat.
Run to run the bath, water, get the lavender. We about to nipple feed the children back to Africa. Born with good hair, what the hell I'm gonna relax it for? You reflect the math, I'm the art with the abacus. Juju on the intercourse, vanishing, imagine us. Thanking the creator for the courage to imagine us. Chlorophyll, lemonade, rose quartz, tiger's eye. Got about a legacy of Molly and the psychic eye. Recognize GMCs who don't need Chevy's and it's that red raspberry leaf herb medicine. Resurrect the fraction on what happened to the captured after poison in the masses celebrating the disaster. What are you running to? What you running from? What are you running to? What you running from? What are you running to? What you running from? What are you running to? What you running from? What are you running to? What you running from? What are you running to? What you running from? What are you running to? What you running from? What are you running to? What you running from?
Eyes closed, shoulders back, legs crossed, meditate. Draw some pretty babies, moving limestones to elevate. Copper pyramid, cow dung, let the fire heal. The woman in the mirror and the matter in the pioneer. Canary yellow diamonds on a wedding ring. From a king who wants to function as a family unit. While we're humans being honest in relationships, advance in the community. Activate the happy and explore the opportunity. Red clover, collage, burn the soap, co-wash. Peeling back the rhyme so I can really get to know God. Yeah, I'ma work the alchemy, bathing on the balcony. Returning ancestors, bout to Betty and Malcolm.
Ooh, what are you running to? What you running from? What are you running to? What you running from? What are you running to? What you running from? What are you running to? What you running from? What are you running to? What you running from? What are you running to? What you running from? What are you running to? What you running from? What are you running to? What you running from?
Cayenne pepper, ginger root, lemon in my stock pot. Stir the kundalini till I feel it in my heart. Chakra full of melanin. Mud for my elephants. Flowers for the vulture and the ostrich at my residence. Pride full of medicine. Women with intelligence. With one or two kings that are killed for the leopard print. Too vast for measurement. True grass for betterment. You can kiss my royalty if you don't like the elegance. Run around in bath, wanna get the lavender. We about to nipple feed the babies back to Africa.